through while we're here. Let's leave here really on fire for God along with it. Don't leave the Lord out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I didn't say anything about this yesterday, but I think maybe I ought to acknowledge one missionary here, Sister Pam Smoke, is it? She really ought to be a good missionary. It took 3 generations of her people to pray her through. No, she was just a small girl, loved very much by everybody. And she went to the altar, and her mother and daddy, and her grandfather and grandmother, and then her great-grandmother, up in years, she got down on the floor around her too. And Pam received the Holy Ghost. I'm the first pastor she ever knew. Did I baptize you? Yeah, it's been so long, you're getting old, Pam. Comes from a Pentecostal background. 3 generations. Wonderful, wonderful people. I wish I knew all of you here as well as I know her. And I know you're wonderful or you wouldn't be here. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I was thinking in prayer this morning, God has blessed me with a long, rich life. I am in my 56th year of pulpit preaching. I was ordained in 1934. That's incidentally, what is today? 26th of October. I was ordained the 23rd of November, 1934. Been blessed to the Lord, ministered full time, done nothing else since 1934. Nothing else. But if I was to sit down and reminisce and try to pull out of those years' experience some of the most joyful moments, I believe I'd say School of Missions. 12 years with the School of Missions. I've enjoyed it. I love missionary work. I love missionaries. Have faith in you, believe in you, pray for you. I hear my dear wife crying and praying for you every day. Every day. Not just one day, every day. Prayers are behind you. You're doing a great work, but you're going to do a greater work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning I'm going to speak from a little different line of thought than I've ever preached here in the School of Missions. I'm going to minister from the thought of great integrity. Great integrity. I wish you would make notes or mental notes anyway. Great integrity. I've been encouraged to minister this thought, and I'm very happy to do so.
Thank you.
Integrity is a very beautiful word. I don't think you could be complimented more than someone say you were an individual of great integrity. Integrity is a broad word. It's a broad word. It's a state of being complete or whole. That's one meaning of the beautiful word integrity. Uprightness, honesty, soundness, unimpaired, unbroken state of anything. That's the meaning of the word integrity. And I studied a little more on the word integrity, and I just happened to have it in my notebook. I didn't know I had it, but I was looking through my notebook, and I have it. And I'm going to give you some things I found in a book Sister Glass bought me years ago. It's just a book of words. So I looked up the word integrity in this book. Integrity without knowledge is weak and useless. In all things, preserve integrity and the consciousness of thine own uprightness will alleviate the toil of business. It will soften the hardness of ill success and disappointment. It will give thee a humble confidence before God when the ingratitude of man or the iniquity of the times may rob thee of other rewards. Meaning of the word integrity. Nothing more completely baffles one who is full of trick and deceit than the straightforward and simple integrity of another. I wish I had time to comment on all this. Nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Give us a man of integrity on whom we know we can thoroughly depend, who will stand firm when others fail, who need faithful and true. When we need an advisor, honest and fearless and just, give us a man of integrity. Integrity is the first step to true greatness. Men love to be praised, but are slow to practice it. To maintain integrity in high places costs self-denial. Integrity in all places is liable to opposition, but its end is glorious and the universe will yet do it homage. A man of integrity will never listen to any plea against consciousness. I'm going to keep that for myself. Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Now I'm going to read from the book of Job. Not a single one of you would preach from the word integrity without going to the book of Job. Not a one of you. I don't think you could. I think your consciousness would prick you if you didn't mention this great man of integrity in your preaching on that subject. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I wanted you to know what kind of a man he was, along with being a great man of great integrity. One of the greatest men, or the greatest man of the East. And he was serving God.
Praise God.
I love to see great men serve God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I really do. I really do. It seems like people are used to be of the opinion that only ladies and men that were sissy served God. But I like to see real men.
Right.
Honest to God men.
That's
all
right.
The way serving God.
Right.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You may be seated and the Lord bless you. Now I'm going to show you in the light of the scripture what made this man a man of great integrity. If I have time, I'm gonna let you know we got men of great integrity today. I believe that. I really believe it. I think I've known some men that's gone on to meet God of great, great integrity. And then I think I'm acquainted with some today. And I'm going a little further than that and say I believe there's some in this building. We wouldn't be investing so much in you if we didn't feel that you were people of great integrity. And I just want to show you what makes you such.
Thank you, Jesus.
I grasped something last night that maybe some of you didn't notice, because these things are precious to me. Sister Rodenbush talking about Brother Rodenbush when he assumed the responsibility that he now has. He built a church. They built a church and pastored it for a number of years. Nobody was over him. He was pastor of the church, and no one's over the pastor. And then they went to the mission field and worked in the mission field. Well, working there in the church, who was over Brother Rodenbush? Who was over him? Now then, he's invited to come to headquarters and work in the capacity he's now working. And his dear wife said to him, reckon you can serve in that capacity, that position. You've always been first. You've always been head. Now you're going to be down number three. Think you can take it? I think I was really nice of her.
She worked on it.
I can see that. I think that is really nice of her to think of that. But I like his answer. If I can't work in second or third place, I can't work in the first place. Now, I like that. That's integrity. And I'm going to reach way back and quote something I heard Sister Freeman say. It seems to me like 100 years ago. But I'm not quite that old. She said, anyone that's too big to do small things is too small to do big things.
That's right.
Now,
that is right.
She's the first one I ever heard say that, but I've never forgotten it. You get too big to do little things, you're just too little to do big things. God bless you. God bless you. Now this great man, this man of integrity, long, I read the first three verses. The sixth verse says that God came to present himself before the Lord. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now he came to accuse. That's what Satan always comes for, is to accuse.
That's right.
Now I want you to see the wisdom of God, and you use this wisdom when Satan comes to you to try to accuse somebody. Beat him to the draw.
Right. That's right.
That's what the Lord did. The Lord knew exactly what Job and Satan was there for, was to talk about somebody. Maybe run somebody down. And the Lord just jumped right in and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Now, if you're going to talk to me about anybody, you're going to talk about a good man. You're going to talk about Job.
All right.
Now, don't talk to the devil about nobody but a good man."
Yes, sir.
Just don't let him bring some old rebel or somebody that's failed, and you know some that have. And you know some that aren't what they ought to be. You know them. But you know more than are what they ought to be.
That's right.
So why would you just brush aside all of these precious, faithful, all dependable, hard-working saints of God and let the devil put some old rebel off on you and going to hold your attention, running them down, and the more he runs them down, the more down you get all the time. Finally, lastly, you need somebody to pick you up. But the Lord didn't do that. Now, we're going to talk about Job. But you built a hedge around him. If you'll tear that hedge down, he'll creep to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, "I'm going to let you tear that hedge down." How would you like for the Lord to just tell Satan, "Tear the hedge down from around that person out there on the mission field"? I know they're way over here on the mission field by themselves, but if you don't think they'll stay true to me, I'm just going to let you tear the hedge down.
All right.
And then I'm just going to watch them and just let you have them. Don't touch their life. Just don't touch their life. Don't take their life, but tear the hedge down. And Satan was glad to do it, and he did it. Took everything in the world Job had away from him. Everything. All that I read to you about here, including his sons and daughters, and thousands of heads of stock, everything is gone. In other words, in my way of expressing it, he one of the most wealthy men in the East one day, and one of the poorest men in the East the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's jumping a long ways.
Yes, sir.
And it hard to take.
Mm-hmm.
But God had confidence and trust. And Job don't break that trust. Somebody besides the missions division and your acquaintances have trust in you.
Yes, sir.
Somebody.
Yes, sir.
Who is that somebody? Praise God. And what I like about Job, when all of it was gone, everything taken away from him, he shaved his head, dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes, and got down on the ground and worshiped God. Worshiped God.
That's right.
Now, I wasn't in no camp meeting. Wasn't in no great meeting with a big choir and hundreds of people to fellowship all by himself. Got out on the ground, and he didn't get out on the ground crying about what he lost, to feeling sorry for himself. He got out on the ground and worshiped God. Worship. You know what the word worship means.
Mm-hmm.
Worshiped God. Admired the Lord. Adoration to God. Didn't have a thing against the Lord. Didn't blame God with nothing. Praised him. And it's hard sometimes for us to praise him when things are going good.
Yes, sir.
We ought to praise him right now.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, brother, that's great integrity. That's a whole man. That's not part of a man. You know, just some of us are real strong in some points and we're so weak in others. But here's a whole man. I mean solid from head to foot. 100% for God. Nothing for the devil. All is for the Lord. And worshiped. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, Satan, he goes back to the Lord. And the Lord talks to Satan. I'm going to read you some things here. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." Now, I'm going to talk on that a little. The Lord's talking to the devil now. And still, after all you've done to him, he still holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him, you move me against him without a cause. I had no cause to allow you to treat Job as you have. No cause. Now, everybody else thought there was a cause. Job had some friends, and I really believe. I hear quite a few people refer to these three men that went to Job as, they call them Job's comforters. But those men were, if you'd study closely, they were real friends to Job. Sincere men. They come from one part of the Christian, another, and they met up and they come to Job together. And they found Job sackcloth and ashes, so to speak, sitting on the ground, wasn't looking around, saying nothing. And they sat down with him 7 days before they said one word to him. 7 days. Take a pretty good friend to do that. And then they didn't speak. Job spoke first. And they all felt like that Job had failed God. Had a lot of things to say. The whole book of Job is about it. Failed God. But Job failed nowhere, and he accepted no failure. He never allowed himself to believe he'd failed God.
Right.
Now he wondered, if I just knew where I could find him, Praise God. But he never accepted the fact that he had failed the Lord. And he never charged God foolishly. Never sinned with his mouth. That's a man of integrity.
Right.
And his wife came to him. That's after the Lord had allowed Satan to touch his body. Don't take his life, but touch his body if you want to. And he covered him with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Took potsherd, broken iron, and scraped his body. Still worshiping God. Still worshiping the Lord. Not weeping and feeling sorry for himself, wishing he could be somewhere else. He's a holding on to God. God had in his faith, Lord gives, Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. That's a man of integrity.
Hallelujah.
His wife said, are you going to maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? Now that comes from the one you're expecting to hold you up. Boy, when they let you down, you're down, aren't you?
You're down.
When they turn you loose, brother, you if you don't watch, you'll hit the bottom. Sister Rodenbush, stay with him. Keep him up. But actually, we can't realize what this meant to Job when she said, are you going to maintain your integrity? Now, God and his wife said he was a man of integrity, and he was. And he said to her, you talk as a foolish woman. I thank God for men that can live for God and not depend on their wives to keep them living for God. Stab on their own feet.
Thank you, Jesus.
One man said, no man will make it to heaven unless a good Christian woman takes him there by the hair of the head. If that be true, I know some men will never make it. But I thank God. And one reason I say this, when I got saved many years ago, way back close to 57 now, preaching nearly 56, there wasn't enough men in our church to build a fire and a heater. And we had heaters in. We didn't have gas and electricity. We had old wood stoves. And women built the fire. When I got saved, there weren't enough men in that church to have a fuss. Women had to do all the fussing. But thank God, you younger people don't realize. You just don't realize where we've come from. We got men today, real men, giants of serving God. And I thank the Lord for every one of them. Men of integrity, walking with God. And when they're up, they're walking with God. When they're down, they're walking with God. They live for the Lord when they're up, when they're down. Don't pay no attention to where you are. Just stay true to the Lord. Bless his name.
Praise.
I'm going to bring another man of integrity to you in the Bible. I'm going to hurry on. May get to some you know. I say this. Very, very few of us ever sit down and realize what a great man Joseph was. We just don't We read about the happenings of Joseph, but we don't seem to comprehend, understand what a man he was. He was sold by his brothers, as you know, and I read in the other day where after Joseph was known to them down in Egypt, they got so afraid that he was going to do something to them, and one of them said, maybe it was Reuben, said to the others, said, "Don't you remember how when he pleaded, begged us not to sell him to those Ishmaelites, that I warn you not to do it? When he unburdened his soul to us, not to sell him as a slave, but you sold him anyway." And Joseph was sold as a slave going down into Egypt by way of Potiphar, the Egyptian officer's house, for a while. And found himself a servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a rich Egyptian officer. And he must have been gone from home quite a while at times. Anyway, Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph. She wanted Joseph. And she wanted him bad. Bad enough that she didn't only just throw herself at him, but she actually asked him to lie with her. Now that young man has been mistreated. He's been sold as a slave. His father thinks he's dead. His brothers have treated him as they have. He's a long ways from home. He's in a heathen country. But he had integrity. He had no church. He had no contemporary, but he had integrity.
Right.
He said to her, when she actually asked him, come right out and ask him to lie with her, "I can't do this. My master has put everything in this house under me, under my control, but you." And not only was he a man of integrity there, but he was a man of trust.
Yes.
"I'm not going to break a trust."
Right.
"I've been trusted with everything my master has. And I'm not going to break that trust. I'd like for you, I'd just like for you to think, how many is trusting you? How many? Your pictures is hanging on many walls in churches and prayer rooms. I see them nearly everywhere I go. I see missionaries' pictures, and I'll go up and down looking. And see many of yours, many of them. Now they trust you. They trust you. Thank God. I've known way back times past, I've known of precious housewives, husbands unsaved. They'd go to the cotton field and pick cotton and take the money and give it to the mission cause. I was pastoring the church and see them do it. And school children picking cotton, bringing the money, giving it to the missions. There's a lady in our church when I pastored it. I'm not pastoring it now, Brother Johnson is. But this lady had a full-time maid. Full time. She didn't have to make herself a cup of coffee. And we're going to have a 20-mile hike, mission hike, and get somebody to sponsor you. This lady got on the telephone, influential in the city, and got several thousand dollars sponsoring her to walk 20 miles. Two or three cars in the driveway. And she walked 20 miles, and I never will forget the last 3 or 4 miles. Just dragging, dragging. I stopped the car. Her name was Johnson. I said, "Sister Johnson, I think the Lord will understand if you'll let us take you home." Just dragging. The last mile she walked, a lady on each side of her to catch her if she fell. And she wouldn't let them take her by the arm. "No, I'm going to walk it." And walked on the church lawn and just fell on the church lawn. Walking for missionary money. Trust. Don't break that trust.
That's right.
You won't break that trust. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried. But while you're on the other side of the world, remember somebody over here is concerned about you, praying about you, believing in you.
That's right.
Believing in you.
That's right.
And it's a sad thing. It's sad. It shouldn't be that way. But it's sad. You let one missionary fail somewhere, and the devil wants to just cover the whole body, whole organization with, "What's the use to support missionaries? Look, so and so." He's just one, just one, just one. Back during World War II, we were living close to, still live close to Fort Polk. It was Camp Polk then. Nice looking soldier boy was walking the highway, and I don't pick up strangers very often, but I just felt like picking this boy up, and I picked him up. We were riding along. I said, "Son, do you have much trouble getting transportation, catching rides?" He said, "Yes, sir." Said, "Hardly anybody will pick us up anymore." Said, "One or two in this country, they stopped them on the road and beat them up, took their car, and said, it hurts all of us." I said, "Well, son, you're not by yourself." I said, "I'm a minister. And you let a minister fail in our organization, it hurts every one of us. It hurts every one of us. Let a missionary..." I've heard people say, "I've got no more for missionaries." Brother, I'd take it up. It'd give me a chance. I've got as much for them as I ever had.
Right.
Thank God. Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
I remember years and years ago, I was on the missionary board, and the missionary failed in Africa. Fell into the sin of adultery. Had to bring him home, of course. Brought him in before the board. I never felt so sorry for a man, but there wasn't nothing in the world you could do. He had done it. And we had to withdraw his appointment. We'd take his credentials, never be in the organization again. He walked out. Everybody was so sad. And sit there. And that's why Brother Stairs was our missions director then. Brother Stairs just got up from the table. Just got up. Started walking with his hands up. "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." Just praising the Lord. It sounded kind of strange at first. Like we ought to be weeping instead of walking, praising the Lord. But he kept on. He began to call missionaries' names as on the field. Thank God for them, Lord. They're down there right now facing the devil, battling against the powers of evil. Right now. True to you, Lord. It's been so long since one has failed. I thank God for everyone on the field that hasn't failed. And he got all of us up a praising the Lord for all those that hadn't failed. Instead of worrying about the one that had. And he said, "We're going to send, Lord, we're going to send 2 or 3 to retrace that one that's failed. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep on."
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Men have failed all down through the years. But that don't mean we've got to fail.
Right.
We can make it.
You can make it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord.
Beautiful.
Job said, I'm not going to betray that trust. And then I'll not sin against God in committing adultery with you. I'll sin against God. I'm not going to do it. And you know, you think for me, you Bible students, was any law against adultery then? Was there any rule anywhere against adultery in Joseph's day? It wasn't the manual that kept him. It wasn't afraid I'll lose my credentials that kept him. If the manual and credentials is all that's keeping you, I don't believe I'd go to them. I never think about the manual. The law is for the lawless.
That's right.
If everybody would live for God like they should, we wouldn't need a manual. That's true.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, now, friends, that's real integrity. That's great integrity. He's as true to God way down there in Egypt as he would be if he was his father Jacob back in Judea. Just as true. That's what God wants. And I'm going to be honest with you. We go to the Bible for such characters, but in my lifetime, I know men, worked with them, served with them, that's dead and gone. I just got as much faith in them as I have many I read about in the Bible. True. Faithful. Not only just clean living, but principle. Principle. Christian principle. My time won't let me bring them to you. But we're right here in the state of Illinois. I don't know of a man I've ever read about or ever acquainted with that I think is cleaner and more upright than M.J. Wolfe.
That's right.
Superintended this district for years and years and years until he lost his health. A man of great integrity. Living today. Of course, we don't accept them that are living. They got to die before we say a lot of good things about them. I don't wait till they die to say it.
All right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know of a man in all the world I got more confidence in than our foreign missionary director, Harry Chisholm. A man of integrity all of his life. Born and raised a saint of God. Almost inherited the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got men of integrity in the United Pentecostal Church.
That's right. Hey.
I respect our leaders. You're going to hear Brother C.M. Becton Sunday. I can't hardly wait. That's a man of integrity, great integrity. I saw him grow up. I remember when he just started out. Held some of his first revivals. Never was a backseater. Always right up at the front. Clean. Oh, I could bring on some more. But I thank God. You know, A lot of these old men, they get old and get down on everybody. But I'm up on everybody.